Welcome to the Collections by Michelle Brown Show, a show about people living between the lines, standing boldly in the crosshairs of their intersectionality as they create change. This episode is brought to you in partnership with the Center for Peace Counseling and Holistic Healing Services.
Welcome to Collections by Michelle Brown. I'm your host, Michelle Brown. Each week, we'll be talking with people living between the lines, standing boldly in the crosshairs of their intersectionality and creating change. After the many months of shutdowns, quarantines, virtual activities, and otherwise social distancing, it's nice to be able to catch up with old friends. This week's guest, Robert Zarinko, was one of the judges at Pontiac Creative Arts Center's Kaleidoscope 2019 exhibit. Zarinko is a professional artist currently living and working in the Metro Detroit area. He has multiple degrees in art and has spent his entire career in the creative field, making art, educating people, and trying to make art experiences more accessible for everyone. Robert's passion for nature and harmony drives his work. He loves connecting the world back to itself by transforming private spaces into public pieces of art in hopes of creating unity in the community. In 2020, one of his murals in Hazel Park, Michigan, which is painted on a private fence, was featured in the local news. As a multifaceted artist, his work is all about unity right now, during this time of racial reckoning and the economic and health uncertainty of a global pandemic. The work on this fence, which glows in the dark, is only one part of a broader perspective Robert can celebrate with every brush stroke and every color, blending paint and artistry. Robert, welcome back to Collections by Michelle Brown.
What was funny was earlier, during Transgender Days of Empowerment, I was talking to Willow, and she kept going, and she was talking about some people, and she kept saying, Rob Z, Rob Z. And all of a sudden it hit me. She meant you.
For Transgender Day of Empowerment, I worked with a couple different orgs and helped put together, it was 7 days of virtual programming with different speakers each day, and then we even did like a game playing session where we played like a role playing game, you know, for a little fun at the end there. And that was cool. That was a good event. It was I guess it was like probably the longest virtual event I've done, you know, because It was like a full week. That was a fun one.
Well, I
thought well, I was going to say, I can't keep my mouth shut at these things, so it's funny that she remembered my name. It makes sense.
and that was great because this was somebody who I had not met before, and it was nice to talk to her and hear about it. But what was so great, because, you know, we met at Kaleidoscope in Pontiac, but then everything shut down. But it was so great that to be able to do this and stretch it out over a week, but more people, because it's that's the plus side of virtual, because it's virtual, more people could be involved who might not have come to one location. But it also, you know, said, hey, we're still here. We're alive. We're doing it. Wow, you know. How good did it feel? Let me back that up. how has your life changed? You know, I know that you taught, you did tattoos, you are artists, and then, you know, everything sort of shut down. We had to sort of like go inside and do that. How, what has been the biggest change in your life? And, you know, good and bad, you know, from this whole period of shutdown?
Well, that is a fabulous question. Let's dig into it. I would say that probably the best thing was that I had more free time, right? Because for a while, all, you know, my... I was managing Painting with a Twist, the Painting with a Twist in Ferndale, and we shut down completely for a while there. And then eventually we, like, created this entire series of internet videos, and we sold kits, and then people painted at home. That was a thing. So we invented a whole new business, basically. But besides that, I had a lot more free time to not just work on my own work, but also learn stuff. I'm like a mystery solver, right? I love a good mystery. I love reading books. I love watching videos, and I've had so much more time to delve into topics that I've always been interested in, as well as work closer with the trans community, because I eventually would end up leaving my job and kind of just doing artwork full time, and then I was able to participate more with orgs and do more events and work closer with the trans community. And the more I learned about the world, and probably a big topic that I spent a long time on was psychology, because that's always something I've been interested in, just kind of like in general, but I've also been interested in like the psychology of art, like why people make art, but also it's something useful when you're trying to work with the community, you know, and do activism, whatever you want to call it. You know, the better you understand your community, the better you're able to figure out what their actual needs are and serve them. And what I really found was that the thing that makes the trans community a special community is the same thing that makes any marginalized community a special community, in the sense that really what I found working with trans people was I was working with a group of people that had trauma, period. End of story, you know? And the more I learned about trauma and stuff like that, the more I was really able to like, not just understand myself, you know, but that definitely happened, but also like these larger things as a whole. And it really has sort of given my, I don't know, given my work kind of like a more finished point, in the sense that like when you're trying to serve a community, especially a community that has so much trauma, your approach has to change, I think, drastically, and your priorities change, you know. And so working with these groups, you know, we've been trying to organize events, and where I'm sort of moving towards now is, with the pandemic happening, obviously a lot of trauma happened. I mean, for me, my whole schedule changed. I went from working 14-hour days, 6 days a week, to like once or twice a week, you know. Like, I didn't have that distraction anymore, you know. And I mean, a lot of stuff happened during the pandemic. I would say that we live in a new world, and I'm kind of okay with that, I guess, because the old world wasn't that great.
Yeah.
You know, it was okay. But, like, I mean, it definitely needed some improvements, you know what I mean? And I feel like the way that things have shifted, I feel like there's more awareness of things like workers' rights, which I think are really important, that are going to, I think, be in the spotlight here for the next couple of years. I think, like, eco stuff is coming up, and I think people have learned a lot about capitalism that they can't unlearn, and I think that's a great step. I think that's a step in the right direction, you know? I really do. And that's why I think we're ready for a healing moment. So many of us walk around with trauma, that really healing should be our number one priority. And that's why I think events like Hazel Park Pride and even Trans Day of Empowerment, that virtual event, was, those things are important, because the more isolated people are, the more they mistrust each other, the more likely they are to turn someone into a corrupt government. You know what I mean? So it's like building that community is, you know, it's a survival strategy. And I think it's really important. And I think it's especially powerful that if we are pushed into a virtual space, that we use that as an opportunity to grow our network beyond what we would before. Like you said, with virtual events, you're able to have people participate that would never be able to participate before. We did a virtual, this, our third year was this year, and last year I do a trans camp for trans teens, like 13 to 18. And last year we had kids, we had a camper from Mexico. We had campers from Montana, Indiana, and Kentucky, all over. And that is never something that could happen, you know, without that virtual thing. So I think that, you know, embracing the virtual is something that is going to be here to stay. I know for me, there's so many good things about virtual that help people, you know, like connect, like we, like again, going back to trauma, like a big part of trauma and healing from trauma is reaching out to people for support and knowing that you're supported, you know, because it's literally traumatizing to not have that support, you know what I mean? So it might seem silly, but, or even like mundane, but like a virtual, with Transgender Michigan, we started a virtual social club that meets once a month, you know, and that's a huge thing for some people who haven't seen anybody in months and months and months, you know? And,
yeah. You know, that's what I was thinking too. It does two things. Like if you've never met anyone, or if you think I'm the only person who feels like this, through a virtual thing, first of all, you can see other people, and, or if you have come out and you recognize that you're trans, but your family isn't supportive, and you think the whole world is going to be like that, you can go to a virtual event and see that the whole world isn't like that, and you're not alone, and there's a community, you know, where you can just be yourself.
Yes. Yes. And I think that that goes for any marginalized community, because this, just the act of being a marginalized community means that you've incurred trauma most likely in some way. Mm-hmm. And I think that, learning about mental health for me, and being more open about my own mental health and connecting with other people who have mental health issues, like that's something that like breaks all barriers, you know, like anyone can be bipolar, you know, it's not bound by gender or age or race or anything like that, you know, like, and in a way, you know, Buddhism tells us that, you know, life is suffering, but it tells us that so that we know we have something in common with everybody else. Like we have a place to start with literally every person on the planet because of our human experience. And, so I think that increasing mental health services just for everybody, I think, is super important. And I don't know what that looks like in the future, but I do know that things like online therapy have surged in popularity over the pandemic. And I think that's pretty powerful. And I think we're just naturally going to see, like, people, because the Hazel Park Pride is coming up August 15th, right? And even though I kind of got that ball rolling, I'm not kicking it along anymore, it still is something that some people have to look forward to. I think a lot of people want to do things and be out with people again, just because we've been inside for so long. Because I've had people tell me they're excited about Pride that are, like, not gay. They're like, I'm so excited for Pride, I can't wait. I'm like, oh, okay. And that's a good thing. I think that having something to be excited about and coming together is important, you know. And so I'm all in favor of that.
You know, and I, like you said, I agree that, you know, I think it's always going to be like, virtual isn't going to go away, but there's been some good things about it. But there's good ways, like you said, you had kids coming to the camp from all over, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to a woman in Delaware who has two trans daughters, and they were able to connect to other young people. Like, one is, like, in her late teens, one is, like, a pre-tween. I think she just turned 13. But they've been able to reach out and find other kids, you know, who they can relate to, and sort of see that there's this world. And she's been able to talk about certain things and advocacy and find other people who are experiencing the same thing or need that information or can give her that because of this expanded virtual world. I know I have missed Pride, you know, I have missed Pride, and, you know, and to be back out there, there's something about, because these are our chosen families, you know, it's like, it's always like a big family reunion, so to be able to be back out there, I mean, that's just, like, great, you know, I mean, because we need to talk to each other. Do you find that, have you been able to stay in touch with a lot of your friends or make new friends and help people besides virtually, you know, fill in that gap? And I know particularly during this time, like, sometimes we've talked a lot about people who have food insecurity or who feel even more isolated than maybe they were before. And I know that you can't do, you don't do an art with a twist, but have you found other ways to open things up to the community around you?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And things that I've been doing recently, you know, I was working with Transgender Michigan, and we do the monthly social club, and then we also we had a game night that was, we had a virtual game night, and then we had an in-person game night. And then I was working with a group, Transcend the Binary, and we started like a Discord server, which is like a, what's for, you know, my kids are real into it. It's like a, it reminds me of like chat rooms kind of, because you can set different subjects and click on it, and they're all different chats, and everyone in the thing can participate. Uh-huh. And so we made it for general trans people to join, and then there's like a musical section and stuff like that, and that stays pretty busy. We have a lot of participation in that, and people can meet there. Because that, I guess, that is the tricky thing, is the meeting of new people. Because I guess for me, I've been staying in touch with people that I've known in the past. But as far as, like, meeting new people, I think I've only met new people, like, in a virtual setting. And then, you know, like that. Or, you know, but I don't go very many places. That's just me. I don't have to, so I don't, you know. But you know, like, because I'm also participating in the Hazel Park has started a farmer's market at night every other Wednesday. So I've been hanging out there. I'm going to do live painting in 2 weeks. And then during Pride Month, I participated with Ferndale Pride, and we did a series of events at this place called Project Ferndale, where I did, like, a chalk drawing event where we drew a bunch of chalk on the ground, and then we did, like, an artist showcase and had an art show and stuff like that, and, you know, it's interesting. Like, I've been paying attention to, like, the concept of a space and how one goes about accessing a space and how one earns access to a space, right? And when you're talking about those, the trans children on the internet, finding people like them, like, that is a huge thing. It's someone like you, having that representation in the media is crucial, but also having that representation in virtual and public spaces, because as we all know, no one wants to go anywhere and be the only one of anything, right? Because you're going to attract unwanted attention. Like, that's just the way that it is, you know? And so if you have someone, like, crack the seal, you know, that kind of shows that it's, like, I don't want to say safe space, but it's, like, cool space, you know? Because when I was doing those projects, those events at Project Ferndale, lots of trans people showed up, and it's like they were, you know, it was kind of shown to be like a safe space for that. If they didn't know that, they wouldn't go there. And, like, I think that's something I think about a lot is space accessibility and making people feel comfortable and like they actually have equal access to a space, because I don't think that's something that people in general, you know, I don't want to say people in general, but like a certain type of person wouldn't ever think about that. You know, if you've never been the only kind of the only something in a room, then you don't know what it's like, you know, so you don't think about that. But
yeah,
I think about
yeah, because, you know, it's like I said, often, you know, I've had people out and like they're like, well, you know, we try to make it feel welcoming, but there can be things, you know what I mean, that the people don't think about. Like, if you tell me, well, Michelle, you know, you're always welcome here. And I say, oh, okay, well, and we just want you to feel comfortable, and I'll talk about it. And they'll say, well, we have planning meetings. And I said, okay, and you always have the planning meetings that at a time that I can never come to. Then each time I come, I don't really feel welcome, because there's these systems and things that I see and that I know. And how do you really become like inclusive? And it means more than just saying, oh, well, you're welcome. It's like really showing up, like, and where I can come and just, like you said, just be you, feel that this is a safe space. And that's what you see that's happening. And one of the things that I think that's really great about what you were talking about doing that, I mean, the media, which I sometimes love hate, you know, but if you listen to them talk, they're quick to show all of these horrible politicians, horrible people who want to say things about, since we're talking about the trans community, which aren't true, which shows that they don't know. And so if you don't really give me a sign that you're welcoming, if you don't show a trans person that, you know, that you're really, really, really welcoming, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might say, well, you know, Ferndale is friendly, you can come in there, but if I don't see something, then I don't know. I think it's really great that this year, not only do you see more trans flags coming up, you know, and hey, if you don't know, ask. But how will you know to ask and be more welcoming if you don't see something if nobody shows the flag, nobody shows it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, it's just like there's more to it than just say everyone's welcome, you know. No, there's everyone's welcome and everyone is welcome, you know. And that's what I want to be. I want to be feel where I feel like I'm welcome, and I'm welcome with whoever I bring with me, you know. That it's not like you know, okay, well, I'm welcome, but maybe you shouldn't go in here. Or, I mean, we talk about this all the time, but there are things I've had someone where it's like, well, I'll make the reservation in case they don't want to serve you. Well, then we don't go there, period, stop. Yeah. You know, we don't go there. If I'm not welcome, right, and you have to go in, and that's not helping me. So, but we're going to take our first break. I want to talk a little bit about art, because I saw something that you did, which I thought was just, like, phenomenal. So we'll be right back.
This episode of Collections by Michelle Brown is brought to you in partnership with the Center for Peace Counseling and Holistic Healing Services, bringing balance to your mind, body, and spirit. For more information or to schedule an appointment, visit the center at www.thecenterforpeacellc.com.
Okay, we're back here on Collections by Michelle Brown with my friend, Robert Zarinko. Robert, you know, I might not have seen you, but it doesn't mean I don't, you know, stalk you on and social media. Tell me about this mural you were working on in Highland Park, which is beautiful.
Is it the one with the butterfly in the middle?
We had a big, beautiful butterfly and all the flowers. I love that.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, that was a heck of a project. That was last summer. And, you know, it was interesting because I ended up being interviewed on the news for this mural. Did you happen to see that news spot?
Mm-mm. You have to tell me about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about it. Because there was no reason for this mural to be on the news. I mean, it's a pretty mural, but it's like, there's a lot of stuff happening in the world. You know, I don't know why this is on the news. But I'll tell you why it's on the news. It's because the woman who commissioned it, her name is, we'll call her B. Okay. B, the woman who commissioned it. She is actually known here in Hazel Park as, like, a conservative person, right? Like, a fairly conservative person.
Mm-hmm.
And a third party actually reached out to me with the opportunity to paint this mural, and I said okay, because I wanted to paint a mural. And so it ended up being at Bee's house, and, you know, it was kind of, she reached out to me probably because my prices are good, but she also knew that I was gay, okay? And so I think what she was trying to do was, like, make a point that even she can put aside her crap to get along with people, and she's really, like, a community leader. Sure, she's lived here for three generations in the same city, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I worked with her, because I was like, if we can get together, this is going to show all of her people that she works with that, you know what I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know, and I was like, I want to use this as an opportunity to show that growth is possible, and that, you know, I really do feel like people have been manipulated for so long by the government that she actually went against her psychological programming to, like, despise gay and trans people to work with me, you know? And, like, I always think that that's, you know, a big thing. And so, but she had a friend who was on the news, and she told them all about how she had this trans artist there coming and working on this thing. And I'm like, I just wanted to paint a mural. All these are flowers. I just wanted to paint a mural, you know. I was like, oh, my God, you know. But, like, I'm getting all this heat and all this attention, you know. And then it's like the news is on there and all the news is here. And I'm like, okay, you know, and she's grilling me, you know. And I'm like, you know, I am a gay trans man, and I just told my whole story, and I was like, mm-hmm. you know, whatever will be, and, you know, I had a lot of positive response. I had a lot of trans people reaching out that I was on the news, and, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that. I had, like, former students, you know, reaching out and being like, you know, I came out of the closet recently and you just fired me and all this stuff. And it was like, it became incredibly intense and political for a freaking flower mural, you know, like I really was just trying to paint some flowers, you know, and, but I would like to think that I would like to think that every time someone drives past that mural, because it isn't a very visible spot, okay? Mm-hmm. And she tells me, you know, she has couples come and do engagement photo shoots in front of it. She has mm-hmm. children that will come and they'll just, that's like their daily hangout space is in front of the mural, you know? She has people who purposely walk by every day on their daily walk so they can see it. Like, it really has become, like, a thing, and it has brought many people in the community together, and we all learned a lot from it, because even me, you know, I have biases against cis people. Do I think all cis people should go in a trash bin? No, because obviously that type of hyperbole, you can't talk like that, you know, like, but, you know, so even me, you know, I have mm-hmm. judgment. And I guess, you know, working on my mental health and, like, doing things like dialectical behavior therapy and stuff like that, like, part of that is releasing judgments, whether people are good or bad. And, you know, no one is perfect. Every human is a complex collection of choices that we could either label as good or bad, but really at the end of the day, we're all just people scratching in the dirt for a carrot to eat, you know?
mm-hmm. Well, you know,
I don't know.
I love murals. I love community art. And, I mean, for years I have been involved. In fact, at one point in time, I was really involved with an organization that went into communities and they did murals. And sometimes someone would just go in and say, well, I just want to put this up on this wall. But sometimes it can start conversations. It can bring people together. It can help someone talk about their biases in doing it. I know we did one in Southwest Detroit, and, you know, the people who were going to do it just wanted to do it. And there were two rival gangs, and, you know, they didn't want it to get tagged. So they ended up not only talking to the two gangs about what images were important to them, but then also in conversation with the community, that there were some shared values. They didn't all go out and sing Kumbaya and love each other afterwards, but that mural came to represent something that they could all, you know, get with. And so yeah. I love murals. I love the fact that, you know, that she did that. And it wasn't just about the flowers and stuff. Like you said, people walk by there and do it. People come and take pictures. Someone is going to saw you being interviewed and went like, oh, you know, I mean, and forget all the stereotypes that all we do is, you know, party and dance. I mean, you know, it's like, this is art. You know, this is art. This is beautiful. I mean, young, old, you can come from different places. And I think that community art is like really, really important. I love to see things that are done outside. So.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I would 100% agree. I love public art. I love community art. I think that's when, you know, I don't think art lives in a white cube. I don't think art even, you know, lives in a house. I think that art is alive like a person, and it should be like outside in the environment where it can be interacted with. Like, that's why some of my favorite artwork is like ancient art and sculptures and these palaces that are just comprised of intricate carving after carving. It's like you are literally in an art, you know? And I think that, like you said about, in, you know, talking to the community, that story was awesome. I think that really, making art, you know, and this is an interesting full circle moment, because I think that making art is like the one thing that's like unique to humans, because it's like, we can't dig, we can't swim, we can't fly, we're not really that strong, you know, we really are kind of like trapping, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we really, there's an animal out there that does something better than us, you know what I mean, in every single way. And really, you know, the thing that makes us special is this ability to, like, create in a way that moves us beyond the place where we're already at. And I think that that's really what it is about, is, like, I think art is integral to, like, the evolution of consciousness. I think it's the way we make the immaterial real, because, you know, if you think about it, there's lots of stuff in our life that doesn't actually exist but affects us greatly. A great example is sexism. For example, if you went out in the woods and dug in a hole, you wouldn't find a vein of sexism. Like, sexism is not something that lives in nature. You know, it lives in people's hearts. It lives in people's minds. That's where it lives, you know. And we see it acted out through performances and artwork and documents and media and all of that, right? And so I think, like, and that's culture. That's culture, right? And so I think that, the more we engage the part of our psyche and consciousness that is related to art, I think the healthier overall we become. And I think that's something that I've learned about trauma and ways to heal trauma, is like self-expression is a huge part of it, because self-repression or repressing the self is traumatizing, period, you know. And art in that context has the ability to help people basically rewire their brain. They're restructuring a physical thing, you know, through taking this immaterial thought and making it real through art. It's feeding back into the brain and altering it, you know. Like, it really is, like, I mean, if there's something that's magical, that really sounds like magic to me. And, and actually, this is a great segue to my newest project, because my newest project here, as I embark in a big, bold 21st century, is I'm going to be starting a YouTube channel, okay, called RDTV. Yeah, okay, right, where I am going to do, like, artistic and educational videos. You know, I'm going to do, like, teach you how to paint paintings, but also I'm going to tell stories about art and life and culture, you know. And I think that I'm personally really excited for it, because it combines a lot of my skill set, and it also helps me to reach an audience that, you know, because, like, we are in this new world, virtual is, like, really big, you know, and I think that we're not going to go backwards for a while, at least. And I think engaging with that audience virtually, you know, because that's how it works, right? Like, I do something in real life and then post it on the internet, and then that gets feedback, and that gets me more work in real life, right? So it's like a system. And I'm excited because, you know, one of my favorite events that I do ever is the Trans Teen Camp. And you know, meeting those kids has, like, really helped me because it's, like, it validates a lot of my experience as a young person. It's like, oh, this is real. I was really experiencing that because, you know, depersonalization and derealization and all that, you know. But, you know, I want my message to be able to reach the children, you know, and I feel, and not like the children, but like, you know, a wider audience. And I feel like YouTube mm-hmm. is like the perfect place for that, you know. It's going to give me more people than a classroom. It's going to give me more people than a workshop, you know. And I think that my message and my experience is relevant to people. And I think that sharing my experience will help, will benefit not just me, but other people. I think it's important. Just like you, you know, you share your life and your experience with people and you give people that same opportunity. And I think that that's really important for keeping this whole conversation going, for keeping being engaged in culture. Right.
Mm-hmm. What made you decide to take this on?
I decided probably like a year ago. I was like, because when I left Painting with a Twist, I was like, okay, because they have a no-compete clause. So as long as I was working there, I couldn't do any instructional painting, right? Which is like, I get a lot of offers for parties and stuff from people who are not at Painting with a Twist and events where I do instructional painting. And, you know, so once I left there, I was like, okay, I have more freedom now. And so I've been, in that time, because I had my hysterectomy last year, which was great, but it was also a lot of work and a long healing time. And, and so I've been working on producing content here for like a month or so, 1 to 2 months. And we're going to launch hopefully in November is my goal.
I can't wait. That's exciting. That's really exciting. You know, I think, like you said, that's one of the things that has come out of this. It's sort of like, and yeah, okay, so they have the non-compete, but you picked up this, you picked up that, you participated in this, and guess what? You're going to take it in another world, but this is going to, you know, reach so many people. I mean, and sometimes, someone might say that they don't want to become an artist per se, but being having access to that to access to someone, like you talk about trauma, someone who has come through. And I mean, you know, and that's something, it's one thing to say it gets better, but then it's like, but here's the other side, and this is what I'm doing, and this is life, you know, good, bad, and different, but it's life. And the main thing is you're not sitting in a hole, you know, sitting in a room, not living, out there living.
Yes. Yes. And I can show people that trans people can be happy. Trans people can be confident. You know, I had someone straight up tell me after hanging out with them, they were like, man, I didn't expect you to be so confident. You know, it's like, what, you know, we are allowed to like ourselves and enjoy our time on this planet. You know, it can take a lot of work and, you know, conscious healing effort in order to get there, but it is possible, you know. And and I think that is one thing that has been cool about this time that we've had to spend more time virtually is that more people have been, like I have, been learning more about themselves. And there's more people coming out as trans than ever. Over one third of Gen Z identifies as trans or LGBT. Like, it's huge. The numbers are surging. And, people are fine. I think what really happened is that people were allowed to live outside the confines of capitalism for a frickin' minute, and they actually remembered who they were, you know what I mean? So I think
and that... And that you're doing stuff, you know? You can do anything.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's really been revolutionary for so many people in that way. I hope that they've kind of, even for me, as much as I knew America was effed, it really hit home how effed America was. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. And I was a diehard America is effed up place, but really I was like, man, this place is effed up. But I think that's great because really once all the misconceptions fall away, all you have left is truth. And as a truth speaker, to me, that is the most powerful and important thing is the truth and to know the truth, because the truth will always prevail. In the end, the truth will always prevail. And that's something that helps keep me going in the hard times, is just knowing that the truth will always prevail, even when all hope seems lost.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we go into our next segment, I want to ask you, you were doing tattoos. So what happened with that during the pandemic? Because, I heard different things, like either you shouldn't, you couldn't, you wouldn't. I mean, people wouldn't do tattoos. How is your tattoo artistry going?
Well, currently I have like a small private studio and I do it like mm-hmm. part-time, here and there. Mm-hmm. Because really when the pandemic first happened, we were shut down completely. We were mm-hmm. closed. We were one of tattoos and salons were one of the last places to open. And mm-hmm. I just decided that I was going to pursue a private studio after we opened okay. back up anyway. But it's going well. I have been seeing people too. Because when I first got into it, I was like all about like tattooing and, connecting it back to basically decolonizing it, and taking mm-hmm. it back to its kind of roots as a craft. And that's surging in popularity now, which I'm very excited about. And I even saw someone who was going to be trying to do like Reiki healing combined with tattooing, and I think that's
wow.
really cool. And I think uh-huh. I think we're gonna see that though. Like I said, I think that we've suffered, as collectively as a group. I think people are ready to move towards healing or thinking about healing or thinking about themselves and their own trauma in a different way. And I think we're going to see some really cool, unique art things like that happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited. The hardest part about all of it for me is that, it's all of government. it was hard because my schedule changed, but for me, it's like, my eyes are pretty open. I see what America has done to its people in the past. Like, mm-hmm. the American government has no shame, when it comes to treating its people like cattle. This is just another mm-hmm. example, So I think that, but that's why I was like, this is why it's more important for us to lean on each other as people, there's 99% of us are all in the same boat. That's a lot of us,
mm-hmm.
We can come together, rise up.
Well, we're going to take that break. Then I had to talk about, I love kids. And I want to talk a little bit more about the camp. So we'll be right back.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Collections by Michelle Brown airs every Thursday at 7 p.m. You can subscribe now and listen to the podcast on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. Be sure to like the Collections by Michelle Brown Facebook page and mark your calendar so you never miss an episode.
And we're back here on Collections by Michelle Brown with Robert Zrinko. You know, I love the camp. I love that you said how you had kids from all over coming. And, I mean, I talk to people, and, you know, kids are coming out. I talked to this one lady. Her daughter told her at 3, Mom, I'm a girl. And it took her until she was 4, you know, to sort of get that, okay, this is real, and I'd rather have a happy daughter than, you know, a traumatized, you know, possibly dying son. And she embraced her daughter completely to the point where when by the time this daughter was 17 and her other child said basically the same thing, it was like, hey, you know, it's just the kids who are coming to the camp, are you seeing, you know, because, I mean, they're exposed to things, many of them have support and anything. Do you feel that, how do you feel about the future for our trans youth, our kids who are coming out as either gay, trans, younger and younger? I mean, first, I think it's great that kids are able to recognize and acknowledge it and that society is doing it. But what is the importance of having a camp like what you run? And what do you try to do to support these kids and their families?
That is another fabulous question. You know, to me, the children are our greatest, like, resource slash come out, like, they're our most precious thing, because they are the ones that are going to take this message into the future, you know what I'm saying? And the camp is awesome, you know, the virtual camp is great. We do, like, we do talent shows, and we do a voguing competition, and we also do like workshops. I tried to get as many of them to be like DBT, dialectical behavior therapy themed as possible, you know, because part of what I want to do with these kids too is give them the skills that they're going to need to use as they keep growing and get older in order to stay healthy mentally and physical, in order so that they can make it to the future. Because I know how hard it is for these children. I mean, this is a group of kids where, yeah, they're at this camp, so their parents are, like, kind of with it. But, like, some of them have been, like, are 13 and have been locked in a mental institution 2 times against their will. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them are, you know, have been put on medication against their will, stuff like that. And they're 15, you know. And it's, like, their parents don't see it, I guess. But, like, or they do or they don't want to, but it's like, for me, these kids are like, they're like on a teeny raft of ice in a giant frozen ocean trying not to fall in, you know? So it's like when I do the camp, it's like twofold. Like, the first part we're going to do is actually work on real skills that we can use, for whether they're problem solving skills, social skills. I found that teaching the kids social skills drastically improves their well-being, because they're able to do the next thing, which is make connections with people, right? Make friends, build that community that they need in order to survive in the future, you know? So it's like, it's learning and it's playing, you know, because that playing is essential for them to build the bonds with these people, you know. And it is so cool to do, because you see people like transform. You know, when you have like a dry, wilted plant and you go and pour some water on it and all of a sudden it's standing tall and it's beautiful and it's getting ready to bloom. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the effect. It's like that both looks and feels awesome. Like, I love watching the kids go through that process. And then it's validating for me too, because it's like, you know, I put in the hard work and it worked. And now I can help, you know, teach, you know, I'm a teacher at heart, I guess. So now I can mm-hmm. help pass this on to these kids, and they're going to keep passing it on. And they really are so special, and they really have been, you know, working with the trans kids. It's like they are simultaneously ancient and immature. Like they are so wise, and they are so like, they are so on the level, but at the same time, you know, they have these like other issues, and they're just like a really special group of just really kind of like grounded, open children who just are like doing their best to survive at 14, 15. And it really is life-changing to work with them, because, you know, obviously for me, I can't help but see myself in them. And I think that a lot of other people would see that as well. And you can just see how thirsty they are for some type of connection to a potential future. Because I know for me, the oldest trans person I know is 76. And that's pretty good. That's pretty old. And I met mm-hmm, him like mm-hmm. 7 years ago when I met him. And that changed my life. I was like, oh, man, we do get old. You know, because, mm-hmm. I mean, the average age of, black, like, say, for example, a black trans woman is only 35. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of things threatening the trans community. But there's a lot of, but capitalism threatens many. And it's through mm-hmm. that, again, suffering that we can find what we have in common. And so it's like, of working with the children, I find incredibly rewarding. I think, because we had one in-person day this year. We did 3 virtual days and 1 in-person day, and that 1 in-person day was huge. We did some challenges that we conquered, and I know we raised our confidence, and that's really what it is a lot about, is raising that confidence. For me, art has helped build my confidence, because you know, every time you do something and it's successful, that's one more point in the confidence column. That's why, again, I think my YouTube channel, where I'm sharing art and stuff like that in an accessible way where people can do it themselves, is, mm-hmm. you know, does have the ability to be impactful.
Looking towards the future, do you think that you'll still continue like having a virtual, but maybe more in person, or for the camp moving forward?
For the camp moving forward, I personally would like to see both virtual and in person, or like a combination. Because because what we do is we have the camp in July each year, and then what we've also started is once a month we have like a mini camp reunion where we get together and we work on some skill or play like that. So that's been going on for over a year now too. So the kids mm-hmm. do have an opportunity to remain engaged. They have access to that Discord server I was talking about earlier, so mm-hmm. they can participate with arts and stuff like that and be informed about events that are going on. And then with my own YouTube channel, like, I plan on making content that, you know, and doing, like, live streams and stuff like that that can be engaged with, you know, at any time. And, or even, like, because, I mean, as a teacher, I've taken, well, and a student, I've taken a lot of classes where the teachers show me YouTube videos, and I've shown a lot of YouTube videos to my students. So it's like, it's entirely conceivable that this material that I'm making, they're going to see in some other roundabout way or fashion. Like, there could be, you know, someone else could start a trans camp in a different state and use my videos, you know, as inspiration for art or something like that. Or even invite me to virtually participate, which I would have no problem doing.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Wouldn't that be cool? See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I mean, mm-hmm. for me, definitely, I'm going to be incorporating virtual things into the future for sure. I'm not going to stop doing in-person things, but I'm definitely going to be, because, like, virtual, really, there's so many opportunities there, and the chance to bring people together like that, I think, is huge.
Yeah, and, you know, I like how we talk about, you know, it's not just pockets, although sometimes, you know, we can get caught up in our pocket, in our little community. But when you know that there is a broader community, right, maybe, you know, you're thinking about going to school somewhere and you know that there's a vibrant LGBT and trans, especially a trans community that's doing, like, trans days of empowerment a whole week. You know, so it's like, okay, well, I can go to this university. Not only do they have a, but here's my community. Here's what I'm seeing. I know I was talking to Trinity, who is, well, she's like in her teen, well, she's 18. And she was saying how even though she had a very supportive family, you know, and her mother fought for her to get blockers. So, you know, she could just live off her life and being able to connect. She said she needed her trans aunties and uncles because as much as her mother loved her and she knew that her mother had her back, but there were some things about navigating the world that she needed her trans aunties and uncles to be able to help her be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And here, and that was one of the things that she missed after all of this happened, was like she didn't get to go see so-and-so. Like, her mother would let her go and spend the week with somebody. She couldn't go do that. She was stuck at home. But here, you'll be able to bring that world, bring part of those experiences right there, you know, into the home, into your den, into mm-hmm. doing that. You know, so I think that part is just, like, phenomenal.
I'm excited. I'm excited.
Well, and, I've got one. Yeah, go ahead, finish telling me. Tell me more.
Oh, tell you more. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I guess I was just going to say I'm excited, and the YouTube community is, like, it is a great community because a lot of the people making content on YouTube are artists. Like, they have art backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
And the people, you know, like, one of my favorite things about YouTube is, like, the comment section. And I know people have things to say about the comment section, but at least on the channels that I tend to watch, the comments are, like, a great conversation, and they're a community in and of themselves, too. And, like, mm-hmm. that's something I'm excited to participate in as well, is this community on YouTube that, for all the weird comments out there, you know, there are people using it to make connections and learn and grow and all that. And I'm excited. I'm truly excited about it. When I was in grad school, I talked a lot about YouTube, but that was like 10 years ago, so no one knew what I was talking about.
Now, who does? I mean, now, yeah, like you said, more people know.
Yeah.
Well, people go to YouTube to learn something, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, you can learn anything. Google and YouTube can teach you anything.
if you know where to look, you will find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes, like, you know, there's a YouTube video on there. Go check it out, you know. Go check it out. Do you have a studio that you're going to produce all this from, or a spot where you're going?
You know, I have a home studio, you know, and then my plan is there's a good chance I'm going to be moving in the spring, So when that happens, I will have the opportunity. I'm just going to move into my sister's house. She mm-hmm. bought a new home. I'm going to customize the garage into a custom studio type thing. Mm-hmm. So that'll be cool.
I have a friend in Atlanta who did that very thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
took the garage and made it into a studio. So, hey, that is really mm-hmm. great. So before I
and
let
I
you
to
go,
do what I want, which is teach. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's one of the other things about this is that, you know, capitalism, I mean, so many people, like, you hated the job hated you, you know what I mean? Yeah, and you did it, but now, suddenly you couldn't, and we started to find out things that we could do and revalue things and to make a life of value. You know, it's not about going in and punching that clock, you know, so that you can live from paycheck to paycheck. Maybe, you know, but say you're making X many figures. Maybe it's not about not making as many figures, but doing what you love.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's right. You gotta take care of your soul, you know, it's enough work to just take care of yourself and your mind and your body and your family without having to add so much other crap on the we could all just be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
so
like,
before
yeah.
I let you go, I have to ask about your number one fan. Last time we talked a lot about your mom. How is she?
You know, she's doing well. She's without power right now. She's without power.
Uh-huh.
She's in a storm yesterday. So she has been lighting candles and reading books. So she's perfectly happy with that lifestyle, you know. We're going to take a family vacation at the end of the month, and we're going to go up to the UP of Michigan, and we haven't been there as a family. I haven't been there since the last we went up there as a family. Was like 20 years ago.
mm-hmm.
So we are going to go up there. Yes, my grandma was with us then. So this is like a family vacation take two. And so she's very excited about that. And so she's getting ready for that. And, you know, living her best life. We're going to go to... We're going up to the Keweenaw Peninsula, and my number one place that I want to go is called High Rock Point, and it's the northernmost point in Michigan. And NASA actually used to have like a rocket launching station there, and they still have remnants of the rocket launching station there that you can explore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it.
Well, Robert, I think that's great. That's great. Well, Robert, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me again and give your mother my regards. I always love, I remember you talking about her and how she was your number one fan and you did the Golden Girls on her.
Yes. And she's already, I don't even have any videos posted, but she's already sharing my YouTube channel link. She's all about it. She's like, I've been waiting for one of you to become a YouTube star. I'm like, really? That's what you've been waiting for?
Oh, my God. I mean, isn't that great? Isn't that great? Yeah. That is so great. Yeah. I love how she loves you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that I have often found in different people that I've talked to. Like, there's somebody sometimes it isn't their parent, but when it's that one, and they have that bond, you know, they have that bond. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, she's your ride or die.
That's right. That's right. That's 100% right. Mm-hmm. You know it. And that's it. All it takes is one person to believe in you. And that's why I think it's so important to work with the kids and just make it known that they can do it, you know. And if by me being here is proof that they too could be able to do it, then I guess that's what it takes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope to. Will you be at the Hazel Park Pride?
I will be there. I'll be hanging out, watching the over 50 performers. Oh, but that's right. Oh, don't forget about Transgender Pride in the Park is August 28th as well, and that's going to be at Martin Park in Ferndale.
Well, I'm hoping to see you at both. I know. I think I did go to the one last year. No, not last year. Year before. Last year is a blur. Where'd it go? But, I mean, you know, we have some amazing people, you know, between Rachel Crandall Crocker, her wife Susan, Michelle Fox Phillips, Brady, the whole crew, I mean, Willow, all those people who did so many things that made, which is another thing that I have to say, that how great is it that as a community, all of these organizations came together, organizations and individuals, to make those that week-long trans days of empowerment. I mean, you know what? Yeah. As much as sometimes we get in our silos and do it, that seeing that come about gave me so much hope and joy.
Thank you.
You know.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you. Because you know, I'm the clown that was like, we need to work together.
You know, I mean, really. I mean, it was a beautiful, not only did you all come together and do it, and you know, when I heard about it, and I think I talked to Braden, and that Braden, I mean, lifted up someone whose voice, you know, wasn't the usual suspect. He said, you need to talk to Willow. Yeah. And she was like, I don't know, I'm nervous. And that's how I knew she was talking about you, because Braden told her that he had talked to me and that you had talked to me and that it was going to be all right.
Exactly.
And so, you know, there are so many great things that came out of that. And so my hat is off to you. I look forward to seeing what you guys are going to do next year. It's going to be equally. I'm going to be watching for your YouTube channel.
Thank you.
I'll be doing a whole bunch of likes and sharing.
Okay, great.
You know,
I'll have to have you on and paint with me too.
Well, always. You know, it'll be anytime you need me, I'm there. Okay?
Amazing. You're so wonderful, Michelle.
Well, it's a mutual admiration thing. I you know, like I said, from the moment, sometimes, you know, you go with your gut. When I met you, I liked you. I've talked to you. I mean, everything about you has just been like, yeah. That's what she said. Robert,
yeah.
I said, oh, that's my boy. I know Robert. You know, that's my guy. So, I mean, it was so funny, you know. But, Robert, stay well. I look forward to seeing you real soon, okay?
Yes.
And
thank you, Michelle.
You again.
Thank you so much for talking. You're so welcome. You are so welcome.
I want to thank my guest, Metro Detroit artist, Robert Zarinko. Robert's passion for nature and harmony drives his work. He loves connecting the world back to itself by transforming private spaces into public pieces of art in hopes of creating unity in the community. Be sure and follow Collections by Michelle Brown Blog Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And let us know if you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future show. You can listen to this or past episodes of the show on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, or Blog Talk Radio. Join us next week when I'll introduce you to another amazing individual living between the lines, standing boldly in the crosshairs of their intersectionality and creating change right here on Collections by Michelle Brown. Thank you for listening.